Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Book Review program here on Radio Islam International on this Monday morning, the 6th of July, 2020. Over 100 days that we have been experiencing, or we have been in a national lockdown. Although in the last few months, I would say, or the last few weeks, especially, it hasn't felt like that much of a lockdown. We've entered level three or advanced level three, and things pretty much, you can do almost everything, you know, eat at a restaurant, go shopping, all of that. There's just a few things that a person cannot do. But with the number of cases increasing on a daily basis, everybody should take the necessary precautions, put your faith, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might, if you are following it like on a daily basis, you might feel that, oh, you know, the cases are shooting up every day. But remember, the recovery rate is also very good. So do not panic. Stay safe. Take your precautions, place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, this is the book review program on Radio Islam International, and every week we look at a different book with Maulana Ashraf Dhakrat. This week on the book review program, an interesting book that we will be looking into, Economic Justice and Sharia in the Islamic State. Economic Justice and Sharia in the Islamic State. And this is a book that was compiled or written by Riyad Azwat. So we take a break. When we come back, we're joined by Maulana Ashraf Dhakrat. We are joined on the line by Maulana Ashraf Dhakrat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as always, jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, and jazakallah for that lead nazam. You know, it speaks about the fact that we have to read the Quran Kareem. And I think all Islamic books are really books written in the service of the Quran Kareem as our source for everything that we do and everything that we and our entire being, Maulana.
That is so true, that such is the Quran, that the more we read the Quran, or the more we read about the Quran as well, anything linked to the Quran, the more our knowledge and our understanding improves. Maulana, the book that we're looking at this morning, that we are going to review this morning, Economic Justice and Sharia in the Islamic State.
Yes, Maulana, this book, Economic Justice and Sharia in the Islamic State, has been written by Riyad Azwat. Riyad Azwat is a South African, and he is now at the university in Melbourne. This book actually, Maulana, is a MA. It's a dissertation that is now made public, this dissertation actually, according to the author, investigates whether the modern political Islamic state, al-Dawla al-Islamiyah, is an acceptable form of governance for Muslims. And talking about Dawla al-Islamiyah, after the ISIS declaration of an Islamic State, the Jamiat al-Ulama South Africa held a conference, and one of the people to present at that conference, an important paper, was none other than our very learned and respected Ustaz Mufti Radhaul Haq Saab from Darul Uloom Zakaria. And in his presentation, he mentioned an important fact concerning a Islamic State. And Maulana said that, Mufti Saab said, that what we have to do is understand that for an Islamic State to exist, there has to be a Dawla al-Islamiyah. In other words, that state must facilitate the movement of wealth to all sections of the community and must be able to circulate wealth that is guaranteed by the Sharia, by Islamic law. And this is the main rationale, he said, for the existence of governance itself. And it really made a lot of sense at that time. It's an important point that he makes. So in this thesis also, this book is based on the hypothesis that the central function of governance in the Islamic State is to facilitate for the movement of wealth to all sections of the community. And the circulation of wealth is something that is guaranteed by Islamic law and is really the main rationale for the existence of governance itself. So the author, in his subsequent chapter, then tries to, through collecting and analyzing textual sources of the Quran and the Hadith, and also the Mazahib, and also then what has happened in the institutions of Khilafah and Sultaniyah that we saw after that, tries to really discuss this whole issue of economic justice and Sharia in the Islamic State. In chapter 1, he outlines aspects relating to governance in the Quran being the first primary source of Islamic law. And he looks at governance and aspects of life that are derived from the Quran. He deals with Quranic verses that are germane to governance, and these verses he groups together in sections in order to facilitate for the emergence of what he sees as a coherent narrative with relation to governance. And he deals in this chapter with the key features of the Quranic teaching, including the idea of a khilafah, caliphate, justice, adl, the circulation of wealth, internal and external defense of the polity, and also accountability. In other words, we speak about King 2 and King 3 and King 4 in South Africa, the whole question of good governance. We see that we are faced with the Zondo Commission here in South Africa. What does Islam say about the way in which we oversee the production, distribution, and consumption of the resources in a country? So he tries to draw clear injunctions, clear laws from the injunctions of the Quran that govern the exercise of political power and the equitable circulation of wealth in society. Then in chapter 2, he outlines the governance and the parameters of governance from the secondary primary source of Islamic law, that is the Sunnah. And he draws our attention to the Madinan period, where the Adawla al-Islamiyah was established by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he shows how during that period of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wealth was moved within the community, and that became a central function of that polity. The historical opposite of this was what the wealthy merchants of Medina practiced, that is the oligarchy, where the political control was in the hands of a few wealthy merchants. In Medina, he shows how the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were fully actualized, and how the Medinan society was a law-governed society, and it was what we can call a nomocracy. That is, Islamic governance was upheld by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who passed normative legal judgments to control the social nexus in all aspects. And trade was a vital part of establishing justice. In chapter 3, he moves to the institutions of governance as they were set up by the Khulafa al-Rashideen, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and then during the Khilafat of the Umayyad and the Abbasids and the Ottomans. And he says that the model for the above caliphates was Madinatul Munawwara, and he tries to establish this and show the historical link between the nascent Medinan community and what they had achieved in those 10 years of the Medinan period, and how then in the future of mankind in general, these types of human societies in the subsequent caliphate were an approximation of that Medinan model. The institutions that were developed from the Medinan model in subsequent Islamic history are also discussed. In other words, the caliphate, the wazirat, in other words, where wazirs were and governors were appointed, the judiciary, the baytul mal, that is the treasury, the hizba, the institution of hizba, in other words, the administration of the city, the mant, where the coins, the dinar and dirhams were minted, and the okaf, the charitable, the endowments, and also, very importantly, the asnaf, the guilds. And to maintain the order, there were the shurta, the police, and for defense and making incursions into neighboring areas, there was the army, the jesh. In chapter 4, he then turns and brings the discussion closer to home and looks at the modern state and the model on the basis of contemporary Islam. And he shows that the modern state, a concept developed in relation to factors that included the Renaissance, the Reformation, Enlightenment, and the growth of capitalism. And here he considers the contemporary Islamic state as a modern concept, which in fact represents the European phenomena that developed then between the 16th and the 20th century. He also shows that Islamic thought articulated various issues with regards to the body politic, but this concept of state did not exist prior to the modern era. The third thing that he shows in this important chapter is that the Islamization of the modern state, and Islamization we put in inverted commas, is an Islamic modernist concept that has a goal to modernize the ummah, and these reformists and Islamists adopted Western techniques and institutions. He also outlines in this chapter where the Islamic state is at variance with Islamic law outlined in chapter 1 and the Sunnah in chapter 2, and also social, political, and economic institutions as they developed in Islamic history, which is the focus of chapter 3. Chapter 5 then moves towards a case study, and he looks at Saudi Arabia and discusses the royal decree embodying the basic law of governance. Saudi Arabia is an Islamic state whose constitution is the Quran and the Sunnah. And because Saudi Arabia was the birthplace and the cradle of Islam, it was a natural choice for him to choose Saudi Arabia as a case study. Other reasons is that the country is located in and has the sacred places of Islam. And there are dominant characteristics, he says, of Saudi Arabian history. The state formation and the incorporation of that state into the global capitalist economy through the collaboration first with Britain and then over the last few years with the United States of America. In this chapter 5, he also looks at the formation of the Saudi Arabian state with the Saudi Wahhabi Alliance and the growth of capitalism and social, economic and political outcomes for the population there. In order to measure the performance of the Saudi Arabia, he used the annual United Nations Human Development Index, and he showed how that this index in 2009, when he wrote, Saudi Arabia was 59th on the list in order of performance. That could have changed since then. Nevertheless, he also points out that there are modern social political workings within that system. And from this conclusion, he draws some ideas regarding the governance in Saudi Arabia in accordance with the Sharia, and therefore, in a sense, it is an Islamic state. But he also then compares these findings and tries to generalize them in relation to other Islamic states. Importantly in this work is that he takes up the discussion of the term Sharia and the discussion of the term fiqh. He also looks at the evolution of the concept of state through various historical epochs. He argues that the state did not exist in pre-Islamic Arabia. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abolished some institutions of state and introduced others. This is very common in this, the way in which the Sharia establishes itself. And also then he shows how the prototypal Islamic state became a model for future generations of Muslims. So all in all, I think, Maulana, this is what the author does in this book. After dealing with this, he has an extensive, an appendix and references for all his works. These are all well referenced, and the references are all at the end. He's chosen to put them at the end of the book. So all in all, Maulana, I think this is a good book. Certainly, the author is an independent thinker, and it may not be that always people agree with him. But I think that he doesn't pay enough attention to the issue of the Sunni-Shiite differences regarding their political outview and their political worldview. Also, I think he makes a fatal mistake regarding socio-economic justice. Socio-economic justice, as you know, in the Quran, we are very, very clearly mentioned that faddalallahu ba'dukum ala ba', that there is no equality in terms of the fact that after establishing economic justice, everybody will be wealthy. This is an Islamic principle of the Quran, that there is going to always be poor, and there are those people who are going to be living a difficult life and others who will have wealth. So I think the author misses out on that important Quranic teaching. He is very good on the aspect of capitalism, the fiat money, and the fact that, you know, we are not linked anymore to a gold standard, the abolishment of the dinar and dirham and its subsequent implications for inflation and all of that. I think the book, Maulana, is important.
I just looked at, you know, the contents of the book, that the picture that you had sent. I see the book is about more than 270 pages long, you know, the different chapters. But Maulana say that the chapters have been, you know, put together well, and is it an easy read? And who should read this book, Maulana?
Well, I think it's a very, very easy read. And I think it's a very important read at this time of our country. We know that we have a number of people in the state apparatus who are calling for economic justice. We know that that is the slogan of the EFF. And we have to ask ourselves as Muslims, what do we have that speaks about economics? And I think this book makes a very important contribution as far as that is concerned. What do we as Muslims have in terms of economic justice, in terms of when we speak when the EFF speak about white monopoly capital. What is our response to that? And I think it is very important for Muslims to understand this very carefully, that we as a deen al-Islam, when we come as purposeful human beings, when we want to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth, and we have as a principle and as a goal, i'la'i kalimatillah, that the flag of Islam must be superior, then what is it that we can provide to South Africa in terms of economic justice and Sharia and the Islamic State? What do we say is our solution? So I think in that aspect, the book is absolutely relevant to any person who wants to read about this. We have a number of Muslim people who are good thinkers, and I think they would do well to take up this book, Maulana.
And then why is the book available if a person wants a copy?
Maulana, this book is available in Pretoria at ICRA book agencies, and the book costs 150 rand, but it is well spent 150 rand.
Ma, before we conclude, anything else Ma would like to add on?
Maulana, I'm just thinking about, you know, now schools are returning, people are returning to schools. Let us ask as parents what our children are reading. We have to make sure that they have sufficient reading material. And there's so much available today. They are on their cell phones, they can be on hard copies, which is preferable, they can read. But let us go home and ask all our kids, what are you reading? What book is it that you are reading? Even if it's a novel, if it's some book that is going to improve their language skills, this is absolutely important. And as adults, let us establish libraries at all our masajid. Let us make sure that all our masjids have lending libraries, that people can come in during the lockdown, take a book, go home and read the book, and return the book to the masjid. I think all our masjid committees out there need to use this time to establish good masjid libraries. We have the example at Greenside, alhamdulillah. We have Uncle Dokrat there has established a library. There's other masjids, Masjid al-Salam, Lodium, of course, and other libraries who have lending libraries, and we need to make sure that we accommodate for people to read good translations of the Quran, good books in hadith, good books on fiqh, and make these available. And lots of these books are available at a very inexpensive way. We can go to the Darul Ihsan collection point in Johannesburg, in central Johannesburg, here in Mayfair, Hanover area, and we can really pick up very good books free of charge, Malan. These are books that have been excellent books in mint condition that have been discarded in some way, but we need to develop our masjid libraries, our school libraries, volunteer to contribute to your school libraries, and make sure that all your children are reading, that you yourself are reading, to create a reading culture.
That's so true, Ma. To bring back, you know, that reading culture, to develop that habit of reading, even from a young age, encouraging our children to read books, whether it be whatever books it is, just to get them in that habit of reading. Maulana, jazakumullah khairan so much for joining us on the program this morning. Inshallah, we'll speak to Maulana next week.
It's always a pleasure, Maulana. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Maulana Ashraf Dokrat with this week's book review program. The book that we focused on this morning, Economic Justice and Sharia in the Islamic State by Riaz Azwat. And the book, as he mentioned, is available in Pretoria at the ICRA agency. So if anyone would like to get a copy of that book or would want more information regarding the book, you can contact them.